wishing and hoping and planning and dreaming. There's actually a difference between wishing and real hope. Teresa had very advanced dementia, and she was in this lovely residential home where they looked after her. And one of the things they had to do was help Teresa decide how she wanted things to be when she died. Unfortunately, the carer who went in was very young and very inexperienced, and said to Teresa, "Where would you like to die?" "Well, dear," said Teresa, "I've always fancied the Seychelles." Let's pray. Father God, teach us to hope in you. Teach us to base our hope on Jesus's life, death, and resurrection, and see the world as you show it to us. Because we pray in his name. Amen. Hope. We had hoped. Has anybody ever said that? We had hoped that the cakes were far enough away from the edge of the kitchen surface so that the dog wouldn't get them. We had hoped their marriage would last. We had hoped their house would sell. We had hoped they'd get that job. We had hoped they'd live. Anybody ever had that sort of, "we had hoped," and it didn't happen? And the difficulty is that hope is always based in reality. We knew, we love our dog dearly, but we knew from experience that the muffins had to be right at the back of the work surface. So we pushed them as far back as we thought they needed to be. And when we returned to the kitchen, 12 cranberry and orange muffins and their cases had disappeared, and the side was licked clean. We had hoped we'd pushed them far enough back. We were wrong. Our hopes were dashed. We had to live with the disappointment. Even though our hope was based in reality, it's not the same as wishful thinking. But when we hope for something and that hope isn't realised, boy, is it difficult. We feel dreadful, and we get to the point of thinking, what's the point? I don't want to keep going. What do we do with our hopes and dreams? Well, in our Bible reading, Cleopas and his companion, possibly his wife, were absolutely devastated. They had watched Jesus die on the cross. They were now trudging back to Jerusalem to Emmaus.
Jesus was the kind of person who gave you such hope in him, in the world, in yourself. And I knew that if I could just be near him, that hope would grow and grow and never stop. We had hoped that he would redeem Israel. Now I think about it, I'm not sure really what I thought I meant. I suppose I imagined the whole host of heaven would come down and drive out the Romans as in the stories of old. I realise how daft that sounds now that I say it out loud, but I did believe he could do it. I did believe he would. But on that long, awful day on Friday, I watched my hope ebb away with every dying breath he took. And then the women came this morning to tell us the tomb was empty, saying something harebrained about him being risen from the dead. And we'd rushed outside and seen the world exactly as it had always been, Roman soldiers and all. The fight went out of me and we packed up and left.
If you want to have more imaginary thoughts of how the people who saw the resurrection, who saw the crucifixion resurrection might have been, I do recommend this book, Women of Holy Week by Paula Gooder. it brings alive in a new way the stories of the Bible. Thank you, Christine. So let's see what Cleopas and his wife did as they were walking back, how their hope, which had been based in reality, we had hoped he'd redeem Israel, but he ended up dying. What happened to them? Well, the first thing they did was they were open with each other. They talked about what their hope had been. And not only did they talk with each other, but as Jesus was with them, they didn't recognize him, but they still told him what had gone wrong. We had hoped this, and it didn't happen, and we're terribly confused. And sometimes we're not going to recognize God with us. But we still would benefit from saying, this is what I'd longed for. This is what I really wanted. It seemed right. It was so sensible. And God, it hasn't happened. And friends in church, it hasn't happened. That's what Cleopas and his wife did. We had hoped, and it's a bit rubbish now. But then, as they continued to walk with Jesus, whom they didn't yet recognize, they were beginning to look and listen for the things of God. There was something about their companion which kept them thinking. When I'm struggling, I get such benefit from the faith of people around me. Has that ever happened to you? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Well, he often helps my unbelief by bringing along a Christian sister or brother, a child, an older person who reminds me of the things of God. And sometimes we can be that person to somebody else, gently saying something about who God is, how God has been with us. Witnesses to the resurrection. It doesn't all depend on our faith. When we take things to God, whether or not we physically know that he's there, we do it in faith. But it doesn't need lots and lots and lots of faith. We don't need to believe 10 impossible things before breakfast, like Alice through the looking glass did. We simply go along and say, God, this is how it is, and see what happens. The Holy Spirit will prompt us and remind us of the things of God. And then what happened was that Jesus said, you are idiots, aren't you? Not terribly polite or PC. But he gradually began to explain the scriptures about who Jesus was, explain the scriptures about how what he did fulfilled what had been written hundreds, thousands of years before. God speaks to us through the Bible. Some of us meet on Zoom if people aren't working or at school. We can have morning prayer together, hear a passage from the Bible, and discover what God's saying to us, share our experiences of God. I use Bible notes, little Bible notes. Anybody ever use Bible notes, booklets? I find them incredibly helpful. Short passages explaining things of God. There are lots of apps. Lectio 365, fabulous app. David Suchet, Poirot, except he doesn't do it in a French accent, reads the Bible, and he reads a bit from the Old Testament, a bit from the New Testament, and either a psalm or some of the Proverbs every day through the year. And it's a way of really getting to know the Bible. And you'd be amazed at how often there's a word or phrase which is so apt for me, for you, that day. God speaks to us through scriptures. And when we listen with Jesus accompanying us, suddenly it begins to make sense for May 2025. When the disciples, Cleopas and his wife, got to their home, Jesus was about to go, and they said, no, please stay. Please stay. I want you with us. And when you walk with Jesus by the Holy Spirit, you'll get to the point of just wanting him with you all the time. It is fantastic. There are some times you don't want him. There's a famous nun, Teresa of Avila, who once said to God, "God, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few of them." Expressing unmet hope, that actually even she wanted Jesus by his Spirit to stay with her. "Please don't go. We want you." I periodically have a quiet day where I can just go away. And I've got friends who've worked, who've been bringing up families, who try and get away for 2 or 3 hours every few months to pray, to just listen, to try and reset to God's way. "Don't leave me, Lord. Stay with me. Help me to recognize you as you walk with me." And then the next thing that happened was they did recognize Jesus as he broke bread. That thing he'd done in the upper room in the Last Supper, breaking bread, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me." Obviously, we do that in communion, if communion is your tradition. And it's a very powerful service because together we gather around the Lord's table. We share bread and wine. We hear God's story, and we can begin to recognize how God's story matches our story, and we can leave with him. But even if we don't come to communion, we can remember God as we break bread, as we share meals with one another, as we perhaps say, "Thank you, God, for this food. Remind us of who you are." And in conversation, I guarantee God will make himself known. Jesus will make himself known by Spirit in the breaking of bread. We expect an encounter with God, and when we expect an encounter with God, God will show up. I don't know if you're here out of a sense of duty, out of a sense of, well, it's quite a good insurance policy, just in case. It doesn't matter. If you come wanting to meet the living Lord Jesus by his Spirit, he will make himself known to you. And if you invite him, he will continue to walk with you. And not just with you, but with us together as the people of God. And finally, an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus results in action. And boy, what action! So they'd been pretty miserable, their hopes had been dashed, and they were just trudging. Get home, have a bit of bread and cheese. What do? They turn round and walk 7 miles back. 14 miles in a day is pretty good going. It's quite warm over in the Holy Land. We're not talking about shorts and a t-shirt and a backpack as we had when we did the coast-to-coast walk. But we do. That they wanted to share what God had done with the other people. And the other people said, "Yeah, we know. It's fab, isn't it? He's risen." Start sharing what God has done, and others will share what God has done, and together we can rejoice. Our hearts were burning within us. Scripture, God's people, the Holy Spirit together lead to renewed faith, and we begin to see hope as God intended our hope to be. And that's really difficult, isn't it? We had hoped that we would move house, and by the end of January, I'd have a new job. And things didn't work out like that. And yet, God, in his mercy, is working in ways that we could not have imagined before our lives were challenged in so many ways. We had hoped, that hope of getting a new job, that hope of doing my last job before I retire, might be fulfilled in ways that we couldn't possibly have imagined. We just need to learn to recognize who Jesus is by his Holy Spirit walking with us and discovering what's next. So what about the other examples? We had hoped their marriage would last, but his wife said she didn't want to be married to him anymore. So what do we do? Well, now our hope is to bring Jesus into the situation, to be good friends to the husband as he manages on his own, to remind him and the children of the things of God, of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, and how to show all of those features of life, even when life is difficult. We had hoped their marriage would last. Their marriage might not last. They can still be people of God. We can still be their friends. What about the home that needed to be sold? Well, they put it on the market and hoped it would sell and they could start their new life. And then the husband was in hospital for 6 weeks. It was totally the wrong time. But as they learnt to reset and rediscover what God's real hope was for them, they put the house on the market again. It sold within a week. And they found their ideal home to move to. Listening to God, praying, walking with the Holy Spirit. Our hope is based in reality. We can walk with him. And then she'd hoped she'd get that job, and she didn't. So what does God want for her? Well, God has gifted her with so many skills and abilities that she's now learning to use them where she is, as she is, and God is providing for her. And the Holy Spirit will show her how to move into what's next, not be destitute. She had hoped it would be paid employment in a particular field. She didn't get it, but she knows she's going to be okay with God and God's people. And we'd hoped he wouldn't die, but he did. So what do? I entrust him to God's care. He's no longer my responsibility. And I grieve because I miss him. Grief is the price we pay for love. Grief is the price we pay for love. And as we pay that price, and as we grieve and as we mourn, we learn to live with all the beauty and the goodness of that person in our hearts. We learn to let go of all the stuff that wasn't right and all the things we didn't do and they didn't do and we weren't able to do. And we walk with the Holy Spirit, who brings life out of death and hope in reality as it really is.
Jesus began telling us about the scriptures. Starting at the very beginning, he laid it all out. He told my story, all my hopes and my dreams, in the words of the scriptures. My heart leaped and burned within me.
We had hoped, and our hopes weren't fulfilled as we wanted. So we opened up to each other in God's presence. We noticed Jesus was with us. Jesus showed us how our hopes were based in reality. Our hopes were worthwhile. He showed our story and his story through the scriptures and as we broke bread together. We recognized Jesus with us. We were then driven to share the good news of God through our personal experience. Hope unfulfilled our way. Hope fulfilled God's way. Let's pray. Father God, we entrust you with our hope. May your story and our story combine in Jesus' name. Amen.